free audio post-production by Alphonic.com.
Welcome to Take It From the Iron Woman. My name is Susanne Müller, your host and the Iron Woman. This podcast is about empowering yourself and others to make real changes in the world. You will hear from everyday, smart, sophisticated, hip people like you and me. Not everybody has to be an Iron Woman to impress the world. Together, we will learn from the sports and business leaders how you can become a more successful person as an entrepreneur or a leader. It's one step at a time, one day at a time. Take your steps now. Take your big steps now. Join me on this journey to success. Take It From the Iron Woman. We only have special guests. And today we go to Jenny Harrow-Keeler. Jenny is deeply passionate about guiding individuals and groups on a journey of self-exploration and healing through forest bathing. But not enough. Jenny also is transforming trauma into resilience. And that's the topic we want to talk about today. So welcome, Jenny. And we want to give a shout out to Hope Katz Gibbs, who connected us. Your message is so important that we need to hear from you. When did it start? And tell us your story, please.
Thank you so much for having me here today. And yeah, thank you, Hope, for the introduction. I can start with Integrative Healers Action Network, the nonprofit that I helped co-found back in 2017. I had just moved back to Sonoma County, California, which is where I grew up, about a week before our region's first kind of life-changing disaster. And that was a paradigm-shifting wildfire for our community here. We had never experienced anything like that before. And about a couple of hours in the middle of the night, a fire establishing my own safety and my family's safety.
What happened, obviously, and it's always in the middle of the night when we are sleepy, when we don't have time to pack anything up. But tell us a little bit how that happened for you and then also for the community.
The fire happened in the middle of the night, like you said. And so after the first two few days of the fire, after I was able to establish that where I was living and was safe and we were not in threat, I started going to the shelters, the evacuation shelters, to go volunteer just to have some sort of meaning and purpose. Our community had never seen anything like that before. The whole sky was black. There was smoke everywhere. Losing 5,000 homes in a couple of hours was just completely devastating for the community. And we're a pretty small, tight-knit community. Sonoma County is about an hour north of San Francisco. We're known as wine country, but we're also a big agricultural region and big tourism region as well. When I started going to the shelters, we saw people who were not utilizing the conventional mental health tables because they were frozen. They were in that state of freeze, that shock from being thrust from their home in the middle of the night and losing everything in a matter of moments. And so myself and my co-founder, who's a naturopathic doctor, her name is Dr. Jen Riegel, we asked the shelter managers if we could bring our friends and colleagues in to set up some pop-up clinics, things like acupuncture, massage therapy, naturopathic medicine, other things like that fall under the integrative health and medicine category, where we're focused on supporting people through a more somatic nervous system approach around helping people feel as safe as they can in an otherwise pretty traumatic and not safe situation, working with them through the body to start to just support the nervous system to come out of that freeze state. And then it grew pretty quickly. Within a few days, someone had started a Facebook group and a couple of thousand integrative health practitioners from all over the Bay Area joined this group. And very quickly, the community came together and we were able to set up about 15 different integrative health clinics all over the county for evacuation centers, for firefighters, for the National Guard armories, things like that. We're focused on, just supporting the community through this tragedy.
And I know that the Facebook can help so much. And it's amazing that you say within no time, 1,000 people joined. So this is the power of helping each other, especially in a difficult situation. And how has this evolved out of this 2017 fire?
We formed a nonprofit pretty quickly after 2017. Our first initial funding was from the American Red Cross. We got some really supportive funding from them in the beginning to help us launch, because they too saw this gap in care at their shelters around supporting the population. We got really good feedback from people at the shelters that just felt cared for. They felt supported that they could go to this makeshift clinic in the middle of the shelter. Some people were at the shelter for 2-3 weeks, sometimes a little bit longer. We were quite busy from 2017 to 2020 and 2018. So that was right after our big fire, the Tubbs Fire, which at the time was the most destructive wildfire in California's history. And then in 2018, unfortunately, that was surpassed by the Camp Fire up in Butte County. The town of Paradise was completely destroyed by this wildfire that took about 18,000 homes. We went up there and set up at the Red Cross shelter as well. There was just back-to-back fires from 2017 to 2020. Just in Sonoma County alone, we had 4 major wildfires in that time period, which mixed with the pandemic was very challenging. And that had a very big impact on the community. And then from there, we luckily had a break, and we have had a break since 2020. Our region hasn't had a major wildfire since the fall of 2020. And so we've been able to shift into more work around long-term recovery, especially with firefighters. Our network of providers, we have a lot of folks who specialize in environmental health and medicine. And so, again, we saw this gap in care around supporting first responders after, unfortunately, like we were talking about earlier, after we learned this from 9/11, that when buildings burn, first responders get very, very sick. We work with providers that can do toxicology testing and take first responders through very safe and simple protocols to start to naturally detoxify the body after such an exposure like that. So from 2020 up until about 6 months ago, that's been the bulk of our work, is supporting firefighters in our region through these different integrative wellness modalities. And then in January of this year, we officially expanded to Southern California because of the LA fires that happened.
Well, thank you so much for all the great work you're doing. Tell us, how would a day look like? You go to LA or you help in the Northern California. The people come to you and then you assess what they need, or what is the offering? Why I'm asking this is because on the website, you can also donate. You have corporate sponsorships. How can people be involved? Tell us a little bit more what you do for the people.
During an active fire, so we can use LA as an example, since that's our most recent incident, we will set up integrative health clinics at spaces where either an evacuation center or a first responder base camp. For LA, we set up a clinic at the Rose Bowl, which was a major first responder base camp. These clinics are very pop-up. They're usually outside. If we're in a shelter, then sometimes we can be inside. But in the case of this, of the Rose Bowl, we were outside, and we get a pop-up tents, and we have our network of volunteers bring their own massage tables. We get a lot of donations for different types of supplements that our doctors can start to give to people, things that support respiratory health or stress, of course, is a big one. At both the shelters and the first responder base camps, things like sleep are very, very challenging for folks. And so we can give herbs and other supplements to support sleep, to support the nervous system through acute stress and trauma. We work with an organization called Acupuncturists Without Borders, which is an incredible organization that brings acupuncturists to disaster spaces or war zones. At the Rose Bowl, we had a clinic in which, you know, at one time we probably had 25 to 30 volunteers giving different types of treatments out, and everything's free. We don't charge for any of our services if we're at a base camp or an evacuation center. For the first responders who were there, they could come up And we kind of talk about it as occupational therapy for first responders, thinking of it as a professional athlete. You get hurt while you're on the job, you run off the field real quick and get a little bit of adjustment, whether it's to their physical body or anything like that. Firefighters, especially when a big incident like the Eaton or Palisades fire happens, they're deployed for about 2 weeks. They're out there on the line for 12, 14 hours a day in very extreme conditions. So when they get back to the base camp, they are physically exhausted, emotionally exhausted, and then their bodies usually sustain some sort of injury. So we can have our physical therapists or massage therapists, acupuncturists support any sort of physical pain or things like that. And then our network of naturopathic doctors focuses on the environmental health and medicine piece. We're doing breathing treatments called using nebulizers with a natural antioxidant called glutathione that helps target the lungs to start to expel the lungs, any sort of toxic exposure that they have so that they can start coughing less and start getting the gunk out of their lungs from this type of exposure. We found that early intervention and treatment for environmental toxicities is pretty crucial for first responders.
Sometimes when you go into such a disaster area, you just want to help, but you also need to take care of yourself. You said they work 10, 15 hours, but then they also need to sleep to make sure that they are ready for the next day when they can help others. So this is really important.
It's something that gets forgotten about, honestly. Mm-hmm. First responders and firefighters are some of the most giving, generous, heart-centered people I've ever met. They are so focused on service and saving people's lives and saving homes that they can oftentimes forget about themselves. And so they know the risks of their job, both just being on the line or being exposed to things like that, and the long-term risks that it carries. Firefighters, unfortunately, have one of the highest rates of developing cancer out of all the professions. And they have, unfortunately, a high suicide rate as well because of the emotional and mental toll of these jobs. Mm-hmm. You think of first responders and firefighters are showing up to someone's worst day every day.
Multiple days.
And it adds up for them to be able to take an hour while they're back at the base camp to tend to their physical health, to tend to their emotional and mental health. It's all connected. That's our integrative approach, is to support the body and the mind. Mm-hmm. And the emotional state as well. And then after we do this type of more acute support, we will move into a more post-acute and then long-term recovery. In the case of LA, after we left the Rose Bowl, which we delivered a little over 1,000 treatments in 2.5 days, the word got out to the fire departments who were front on the line in Pasadena and in the Palisades, and they asked us to come back. And so we went back to LA every weekend from the middle of January till the end of March, because we've been working with firefighters for a while now, since 2017, with lots of big fires and lots of different types of incidents. And we've never seen firefighters this sick from an incident before. Mm-hmm. The environmental toxic exposure of the homes burning, but what's new is now the percentage of electric vehicles in neighborhoods that burn have gone up significantly. When lithium batteries burn, it is incredibly toxic for the first responders who are first on the line to that. They don't, unfortunately, have enough PPE to protect them from that type of exposure. We've been asked to continue to come back to support those who are front on the line, because a lot of them were hospitalized. A lot of them had chronic coughs that were not going away. We're getting very good results from our clinics to support both the respiratory health and just starting to relieve them from the toxicity.
I don't even know what to say except thank you for doing that work. My question that I'm pondering about, when do we know how to tell them to quit or push through? And I know when you're giving, you just want to push through, but sometimes it's also wise to quit. How do you deal with such a situation with a firefighter?
They are such a team-oriented culture. Mm. They're so service-oriented that I don't think quitting is really an option for them. That was what was incredibly devastating about these fires in LA, is that there was 100 miles per hour plus winds happened in incredibly dry conditions. And there was nothing that they could do to save the homes that they were aiming to save. And it was devastating. It was devastating for them. Their job is to save homes, and they weren't able to do it because it was physically impossible. Mm-hmm. It's not inviting them to quit, but really inviting them to give themselves permission to receive help and care in between incidents. That's where we do a lot of education and training around how they can support their body around the environmental toxic exposure, about the mental health piece from the stress and trauma of their jobs, that there are things that they can start to do to take care of themselves in between incidents, because they will always show up.
And more, it seems like. And how much more can they give? So now I would like to turn the focus a little bit on you. It seems like you're giving. How do you rejuvenate? Because it's also toxic on you to give all the time.
Yeah, no, thanks for asking that. I learned the hard way. What's needed. I said earlier, from 2017 to 2020, our community experienced 4 major wildfires and then the COVID pandemic in the mix of all of that. And I wasn't taking breaks, and I was really pushing myself probably a little too much. I burnt out completely. I had to give myself a little bit of a break. And that's where my other work that you mentioned earlier around forest bathing is incredibly helpful, because nature is one of the most effective ways for me to take care of my mental health, my physical health, all of it. I'm grateful for my work with forest bathing. I practice on my own regularly, because combining mindfulness and meditation with connecting with nature and tapping into all of the naturally very healing benefits of being outdoors. That's one of the things I love most about living where I live in Sonoma County, is we have so much access to wild open spaces, whether it's the redwoods or the Pacific Ocean, these different, just in the river there. I just got back about an hour ago from an overnight in the redwoods, where I got to stay in a yurt at the top of the redwood trees, ziplining in and ziplining out. That really is a huge part of taking care of myself, is giving myself permission to slow down and take breaks and fill my own cup. And yeah, spending time in nature is a big one.
Please do so, because you're giving so much to others. So you also have to take care of yourself. I'm reluctant to ask the question, what's next? Because we don't want to kind of like envision another fire, but what is next for you?
Yeah, thanks for that question. We are always preparing for another wildfire. That's with the climate crisis. It's just unfortunately a part of our reality now in California and along the West Coast, and in every part of the world has this increasing frequency and severity of natural disasters and climate disasters. Our mission as an organization is to help transform trauma into resilience for communities affected by climate disasters, coming together as a community and supporting each other and offering, in the instance that we're doing, different healing modalities to support the trauma and to support the environmental exposure. It gives us, as the folks behind the scenes and all of our volunteers, meaning and purpose during an otherwise very stressful situation. The way that we're preparing is to take breaks in between, like you asked. That's crucial to fill up our own cup. And then we're preparing by always looking for more volunteers, which can range from, if you're a licensed integrative health practitioner or not. A big part of our clinics is, in addition to all the different providers that we work with, is folks who can help fill in the gaps around clinic coordinating and administrative work. We really encourage people to register to volunteer with us in what we call our blue sky times, so that what we ask our volunteers to go through our online trauma-informed training that's specific to disasters, because that's a crucial part to showing up in that do no harm way, knowing that people are going through an incredibly traumatic incident we teach our volunteers to, one, support themselves, supporting their own nervous system so that they're not unknowingly passing on any of their own trauma that they may be experiencing from the disaster. It's something that's called secondary or vicarious trauma. We really emphasize that in our trainings around taking care of themselves, listening to their own needs. If they're not feeling regulated, then it's probably best not to show up to the front lines of the disaster. Recruiting new volunteers, training new volunteers. We're always looking for partners around funding or other types of donations. Everything that we do is free for the people that we offer the services for. Anyone who's interested in our mission and wants to be a part of that, helping make that possible. All the work that it takes to put this together behind the scenes is pretty crucial. We work with a lot of different companies who will donate different types of things like supplements or other medical supplies that are pretty crucial for our clinics to run as effectively as they do. Lots of different ways to get involved, and then spreading the word is really helpful too. I mean, that was a part of how we were able to pull off such a successful mission in Los Angeles. We're not from there. We'd never run a deployment in Southern California before, but through word of mouth and through other things like that, just sharing our mission and seeing if other like-minded folks are interested in getting involved is the big way to help spread this in a more grassroots way.
Yeah. That's why we're here, to spread the message and just making sure. And I like what you said. So you're training the volunteers, and we need all kind of different volunteers. So hopefully the listeners can go to the website. We have it in the show notes, and volunteer. And I'm wondering, so you said you and a co-founder, how many people, staff do you have, or is it all voluntary based?
It's mostly volunteer.
Okay.
Volunteer run. We have, myself included, just a few part-time staff. We're definitely a volunteer-driven organization, which is really a testament to the people who are committed to this mission and helping make all of this work possible. It always blows my mind, the folks that make this work possible.
Again, as I said, I can only say thank you, but thank you also for giving us some glimpse into what you're doing and how many people that you're helping. And I hope with that podcast, we can also help you and help others to raise the awareness. And hopefully we don't have too many more fires to put out there, and we can help others with their healing with the offerings that you have. So thank you so much, Jenny, and I wish you good luck.
Oh, thank you, Suzanne. I'm really grateful for this opportunity to share our work with you and your audience, and I really appreciate this conversation.
Yeah, thank you so much. Please check their website and sign up as a volunteer. Anybody can donate their time. Anybody can donate and be part of this, because when we're supporting others, we're also feeling much better. Take it from the Iron Woman. We have episodes every Monday. Come and join us. We have fantastic guests who make a difference in this world. And Take It from the Iron Woman is also the book Global Business Coaching with Sports Parallels. Download it or get it in your local bookstore. And also like and subscribe to the Take It from the Iron Woman podcast where you are listening to this podcast now. Thank you, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Free audio post-production by Alphonic.com.